Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I preach in your hearing, by the grace of God, of a forgotten faith, part 3, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. Part 17, it is a part of the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign. Day 711, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1076, since January the 1st, 2016. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. The Bible reads, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah said, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem. If you will, cry in the ears of the church, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Hear the word of the Lord, church. Yes, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is all the word of the Lord that has never changed. Contrary to what some of our newfangled preachers are saying today, they didn't learn that from the church they grew up in. They didn't learn it even from some of the Bible colleges that they went to. But all of a sudden, they are saying that the Old Testament is not for the church, but it is. In fact, the New Testament says so. We dealt with that some time ago. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Sounds like the church today. One young lady named Tweet just spilled the beans on yesterday. She said that she is sick and tired of the hypocrisy in the church, to the point that she will never give any money to a church again, and she'll never be a member of a church again. She says she has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but she has seen too much hypocrisy and how so-called men of God are using the people to gain money and prestige. Young lady has given up on the church because the church has become vain. Used to date a popular preacher, and evidently she's seen too much hypocrisy, phoniness, and fakeness in the church. We have a whole lot of people talking about fake news. The sadder than that is we have a whole lot of fake Christians. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. A whole lot of fake preachers. And sad to say, some fake churches. And by the way, just because you may run 1,000 does not mean you have a church. You just have a gathering. a demonic group like KISS can draw, as old as they are, can draw tens of thousands. So, you know, it's not in the numbers. And if you study the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's oftentimes a remnant that God was depending on, not a crowd of people. Neither said they, "Where is the Lord?" Jeremiah brought out for God, "that brought us up out of the land of Egypt," our forgotten faith. We have forgot about God who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, "that led us through the wilderness," through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. "And I brought you into a plentiful country," God said. And that's what God did for so many of us. And you know it. You know it's true, that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would not be standing here today. We would not have accomplished what we have accomplished. We would not have seen what we have seen, and we would not have done what we've done. We would not have what we do have if it had not been for God who brought us a mighty long way. Amen, somebody. "And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered," see, God is all about blessing you, but you got to be obedient. "You entered in, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. You started killing babies, sacrificing them, the babies that I created, sacrificing them to idols. You started worshiping false gods who cannot respond to you. Not only that, the priests said not, 'Where is the Lord?' They didn't even inquire about the Lord and of the Lord. They forgot about the Lord, the priests, the pastors, the preachers. And they that handle the law knew me not." They didn't even know me. Not only have they forgot about me, they didn't even know me in the first place. "And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, taking Tweet's money, having sex with Tweet, and destroying her faith. And the prophets prophesied by Baal," started using the demonic words of Baal in their prophecies, like so many prophets and preachers today who don't read the Bible anymore. They get their little fancy sayings from people who write books. The book writers, that's where they get their quotes from. Listen to me very carefully. We got too many pastors. The reason why they've gone astray, God called them and God brought them through, and now they have to follow somebody that is a guru, just because he may have multiple campuses. Thousands of little pastors following a guru. They read the guru's book and the Stanley's books more than they read the Bible. And they have not preached an original sermon in the past 15 years. Because they're not hearing from God. They're hearing from Andy and other little preachers out there who think they have to recreate and do it all differently than what it was done before. They call it being on the cutting edge. You're on the cutting edge of hell. That's what you're doing. Everybody got to be cute. Everybody got to come up. And these little preachers today, they beat their head up against the wall trying to think of something new to say. And there's nothing new, man, under the sun, number one. And there's certainly nothing new about the gospel. Just preach the gospel, man. Stop making up things trying to shock people. Thinking your blog is equal to your preaching. It's not. A blog is a blog. Who cares? Your little cute sayings don't mean a hill of beans. And we got thousands, you got thousands of followers, preachers. A pastor ought not be following nobody but Jesus. Amen, somebody. A pastor, if you're called to preach, you ought not follow anybody but Jesus and the Bible, man. You don't need a guru. You don't need to go to their conferences trying to be like them. You'll never do what they did because you're not them. You're not Andy Stanley, man. You'll never be Andy. Andy had a great father, man, named Charles Stanley. One of the greatest pastors in the history of America. You don't have that. So stop trying to be something you're not. Out here preaching stuff, saying stuff that you have not tried on yourself. Be like David and say, no, I can't wear a Saul stuff. I got to do what I got to do. I got to deal with it the way God gave it to me. Amen, somebody. Get this stuff off me, man. I'm not doing that. You up there got a little chalkboard drawing pictures of people and all this. That's not preaching. Just preach the word, man. If you want a pinpoint or whatever you call it, presentation, go to a seminar. Rab back and just preach the word of God. These little pastors, famous pastors are saying expository preaching. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. It's too easy. Concoct some idea in your little wicked mind and then preach that, and the people will come. They'll like it. It's a lot of hell. And I love Andy. I think he's drinking too much Boone's Farm wine or something. I don't know what he's doing. Jack Daniels, leave it alone, Andy. Leave it alone, Andy. You're drinking too much. Something's wrong. No, we need the word of God. We don't need no idea from your little wicked mind. Lord, help me to get through. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. That's how much God loves us. You know what God is doing right now in the church? He's pleading with the millennials. That we messed up. The baby boomers have messed up. We got the baby boomers straightening their backs, all proud, like we've done something. We've messed up our children and grandchildren and the entire nation. The politics are shot to hell because the baby boomers have messed up everything. And I'm talking about the so-called baby boomers in the church. Including the pastors, the prophets, the preachers, the priests. There's nothing wrong with the millennials or the X generation or whatever. There's something wrong with us. What our black forefathers and white forefathers passed down to us. Yes, there was some racism in their terrible sin. But the truth of the matter is before 1960, black folk had better morals, better families, and some of us have some sense today because of Mother Tempe and Mother B, who never, they hardly finished eighth grade, if that. But they had more sense than all of the PhDs in America combined. And they helped us to get some sense. I have five cousins raised by a single mother. They all finished college and they're doing quite well because of Mother Tempe. Sitting on that porch, watching them run around and do crazy things and get into fights. And she didn't move. She didn't come off the porch, man. She sat right there. Come here. She used to dip snuff. She spit some stuff in the can. Said, come here, boy. But grandmama, mother, damn it, mother, just come here. I don't want to hear all that. And now you're supposed to act like, she'll say you're supposed to act like a gentleman. Now you apologize for hitting him, your brother. Your little Cain. Apologize to your brother Abel. And if you don't do it quickly, and you start fixing up your face like you're about to cry, I'm going to give you something to cry for. She was the most decent individual I've ever met in my life. We have forsaken the old way, the old landmarks in the black community and in the white community. And we think we have done something. And look at us now. A total mess. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And thank you, Lord, for how you have inspired it. Anywhere we cut it, the Lord is powerful. From Genesis to Revelation, contrary to the modern preachers and pastors. Lord, help them, help them. And Lord, we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of how we have forgotten our faith in you. How we have forgotten you. You who have brought us a mighty, mighty long way. Lord, help all of us to sit down somewhere and remember from how far you brought us. Help us to remember, Lord, the old landmarks. How that there were things we did, whether we felt like doing them or not. They were right to do back then, and they're right to do now, and we did it. We had the fear of God before our eyes because Brother Tempe and Mother Beeman, thank God for the old-fashioned grandmothers, Lord, who carried on the faith, who when nobody else showed up in the church, they were there with some quarters in an envelope, in a handkerchief that they had saved up to pay their dues. They didn't know what tithes and offerings were back in those days. They knew what offerings were, but not tithes. They paid their dues, the membership dues. And they would sit there and endure some of the stuff that went on for hours. And then they carried the church home with them. They had character. They had integrity. They tried to teach us that, and they did so and passed it on to us, both in the black community and in the white community. We were separate, but we were better than what we are right now. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you would take us back, as the song says. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. For some of us, Lord, like Nebuchadnezzar, we have lost our minds. We're insane with the evil that we're doing today. And I pray that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fall like never before. Lord, upon the remnant and revive us again. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves in times like these. Help us to stop blaming the president. Help us to stop blaming Congress. Help us to stop lying to ourselves that the next one will be our deliverer when the deliverer has already come. His name is Jesus Christ. And we need to be pointing the president, the politicians, the preachers, the people, and folks in the pews to him. the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to do it. And Lord, I don't know how far you want me to go, because Lord, I think I've already said enough. But Lord, let your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Coke said, in this prophecy, God professes to retain the same kindness and favorable disposition towards Israel which he had manifested in their earlier days. He expresses strong disapproval of them and their behavior due to their ungrateful returns for his past goodness, mercy, and grace, and shows that it was not want of affection in him, no, but their own extreme and unparalleled wickedness, like we see in the church today, unparalleled. Most of the older saints, 70 and older, they've never seen anything like it. Wickedness and disloyalty. One of the greatest sins is to be disloyal to someone who has helped you so much. It is a betrayal. It is a part of the Judas spirit. He goes on to say, which had already subjected and would still subject them to calamities and misery. You see, like today, they had no fear of God before their eyes. Most Christians don't fear God. That's why they continue in sin. That's why you have these people going to church, smiling and grinning with the little yoga pants on, just came out of the club, committing fornication all week, having more sex than people who are married are having sex. And they come to church smiling. They have no fear of God. Some of these people, like we find in this passage, don't even know God. I guarantee you, if most Bible-believing pastors would invite a true gospel-preaching evangelist in their church for one Sunday, he said, well, why can't the pastor preach? He should preach the gospel. He's not going to do it. And he's not going to do it like a gospel, God-called evangelist. Well, that's just the reality, people. Nobody's picking on pastors. They are supposed to do the work of an evangelist. Most do not. They can barely do the job of a pastor. And most churches don't have evangelists anymore, and most evangelists don't want to even go to churches anymore. But I assure you that if most pastors, Bible-believing pastors, would invite a Bible-believing evangelist on a one Sunday morning basis, no revival, once have a friend day or enemy day, whatever you want to call it, and then you invite everybody you can and get them there. No, I'll tell you what, just bring the church members in. Get all your church members there, those who are even on the books, and they claim to be members too, okay, in case somebody dies. Bring them all in. I guarantee you, one quarter to a half of the folks will get saved because they have never been born again. They have just been gathered into the church, and they like the programs. And oh, we have some programs for you. Coke goes on to say, he concludes with a passionate address. This is God speaking, exhorting them to return to him with an implied promise of acceptance. Come, let us reason together. I love you. God is saying to all of us. I don't understand this kind of love. I don't understand this kind of grace. I don't understand this kind of mercy, man. I never have. I stand in amazement at God's love. I told you about the beautiful young lady I was preaching down in Jamaica land. Beautiful young lady named Marcia. I never forget her. I was single at the time. That's why I will never forget her. But anyway, I digress. But she got into the pulpit in the choir box or whatever. Sung a solo before I preached. I was floored. I had never heard it before. I should have. Titled The Love of God. And it talks about how that if I had a pen and filled it with the ink from the ocean, I could never describe or get to how vast God's love is. It floored me. I was taken aback. Could hardly preach, but I did. The love of God. And here it is, 40 years later, after I met Jesus, and Jesus met me and found me and allowed me to believe on him. And I'm more amazed at his love now than ever before. But we see the love of God in this passage. So if we would get back to our first love, Jesus Christ, saints, he will accept it. I don't understand it. Most of us would not do it. And you know that's right. But God would do it. So he concludes with a passionate address. An address. Exhorting them to return to him with an implied promise of acceptance. Just, you've done evil. You stabbed me in the back. You have betrayed me. You have sacrificed my precious babies to false idol gods. You have forgotten all about me and what I did for you. God is big on remembrance, dear friends. He's not big on doing things over again. He's not big on that. He's big on you and I remembering what he did for us in the past. And if he did it for us in the past, he can do it again if he chooses to. God would accept us. He would, if we would confess our sins and repent. Stop lying and stop trying to be cute. Get humble real fast. Turn from our wicked ways, all of it. And the millennials are not the only ones committing wickedness. The biggest sinners living in America today are the baby boomers, my generation. Oh, yes. We lost our minds back in the 60s, and we have not found it yet. And many of us are in the pulpit. That's why so many are falling like flies, because we have no deep-seated morals. I know of a preacher. He's an old saint. His wife had a stroke about 3 or 4 years ago, and he's been by her side. He's in his 80s. He's been by her side. He's not even thinking about messing around on her. It's just not in him. How about some of you little Twitter pastors you have on your thing to the left? I am the husband of. I am the father of. I am such a great husband, and I am such a great father. We're going to see how great you are when your wife has a stroke. And she can't do anything for you, nothing. We're going to see how much you love your wife. With all the lies you've been telling, how much you love her, you hypocrite, you phony, you fake. And there are some young pastors today, baby boomer pastors today, who are struggling with that. Don't tell me, because I know. She's sick now. She has cancer. You are all into in sickness and in health when you're sick. But how about when she's sick? That little twiddle stuff you got over to the left ain't going to mean a hill of beans. And you're going to be looking at a healthy young thing in the church. One man, his wife, beautiful wife, smart wife, rich wife, she got Alzheimer's. This devil, he said, I just can't handle it. So he got his girlfriend living in the house with them. Church just, yeah, I understand. I know how it is. You got to have your needs met. We are something else, we baby boomers. And it's a miracle that the millennials are doing as good as they are. And I think there's a generation in between that we messed up. That messed up the millennials. Coke goes on to say, he concludes, Jesus, God Almighty, concludes with a passionate address, exhorting them to return to him. That's what God is saying to you and to me today. Return. Come back to me. Some of you have never been with him. You don't even know what's going on. You just got caught up in religion and you're lost as you can be. With an implied promise of acceptance, and laments the necessity that he was under through their continued obstinacy. That's where we are. Rebellious, stubborn. Some of us have a demonic, pharaohistic pride. If you're not careful, it will damn you to hell. Because it'll get a little convicted, and then they'll rise right on back up and start doing the same old evil like you have lost your mind. Of giving them farther signs of his displeasure. Ladies and gentlemen, when God delivered Israel out of slavery in Egypt, he allowed them to remain in the wilderness for 40 years. This wilderness experience became a training ground for the birth of a nation, if you will. God, through Moses and Aaron, meticulously taught the Hebrews about their most important relationship, their relationship with himself, with God. God taught Israel how to live holy before him. God taught them how to relate to each other, how to serve him and serve each other, and how to petition for forgiveness and atonement when they failed in their duties of religion and relationship of faith. With 40 years of training and preparation, Israel was set up for success. That's what God does. He prepares us. So Israel was set up for success in regards to the duties of their faith in God. Strong family and community traditions had been established, each focused on the centrality of trust in God as the basis for Israel's success and establishment. Likewise, my beloved, with America, the greatest country formed in the history of the world outside of Israel. And I don't care if you like it or not. It is. Our country was founded in the light of a very strong Judeo-Christian religious tradition. And I can hear somebody raising their fists. I can see them in my mind's eye raising their fists. Yeah, but it was also created with slavery, and taking the lands of the Indians and so forth. I'm not dealing with all that. That's a reality. And oftentimes things are ugly along the way in life. But much good has come out of this country called America, contrary to what the liberals are saying, contrary to what people who don't believe in Christ are saying in this country. The first settlers in this nation regarded both their fortunes and their struggles as being under the guidance of the divine hand of God. Throughout American history, Christian religious influence, I said Judeo-Christian religious influence, has been the engine of much progress in this country. As noted by John Butler in the Journal of American History, it has seldom been possible, much less wise, to assess American history without taking religion seriously. Historians have long found religion critical of faith, Judeo-Christian faith, critical to the American experience, not just in New England, where the great awakenings were sparked, but in the middle colonies and states, in the increasingly evangelical South, and on the frontier. Indeed, so much reform is traced to Protestant evangelicalism, faith in Christ, from abolition of slavery, women's rights, education, and still more. End of quote. If Christianity and the reform that it produced in this nation was the catalyst for such positive change, progress, and establishment, what happened to us along the way? Why do we see headlines today in Christian journals almost every week, and secular journals too, lamenting the decline in church membership, declining church baptisms, lack of interest in faith, and a near abandonment of the church by the latest generation to come of age, the millennials? Well, beloved, the same thing is happening to us that happened to ancient Israel, and that's why we spent about 2 weeks dealing with the passage in 1 Corinthians about how that God said Israel should be an example, is an example to us as to how we ought to carry ourselves, contrary to people in the church today calling for Christians to unhitch themselves from the Old Testament. Or to put it more accurately, we have done the same thing that Israel did. And that's our problem. In the church first, in our families, and therefore in the community and in the nation. We have an Obama in office sanctioning, having the government to sanction homosexuality because the church has failed to do what God has called us to do. We have forgotten God in the church first. And yet we want to wax eloquent against President Obama and wax eloquent against President Trump. They're not the problem. They're a symptom of the problem. The church is the problem. And we need to own up to our failures. The black church and the white church. And yes, I know there's some dear sweet people who say, you ought not to say the black church and the white church. Well, there is a black church and there is a white church. And I'm talking about the lost souls of black folk and white folk. Politicians, they're not the problem. We're the problem. One of the reasons why America is so great is because of how it was formed. We the people. And we had an opportunity to turn this country and the world upside down if we had obeyed Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. There would be no question what kind of people we would have in office across the board if we had done that. We have instead turned our backs on God. And I know that you don't want to hear it, but it's true. And thank God for the remnant. The black remnant and the white remnant. God does not see us that way. He sees us together. For some have not lost their faith. Some have not forgotten about God. But there are few. And thank God for them. But most of us in the church have. We've turned our backs on God and on the faith of our fathers. And if we don't repent, if we don't confess our sins, and if we don't admit, we have a lot of folks who confess stuff, but they don't want to admit what they have done. They don't want to deal with that. And then they don't want to repent. Confession and admitting means that we agree with God that what we did was wrong and what we're doing is wrong and that we need to repent. That means turn away from our evil ways. And there are people hearing me today. They have no intention of doing that. Their mind is already made up. But beloved, if we don't repent, we will continue to suffer as Israel suffered during her time of rebellion. When God is saying to us, I will accept you. I will forgive you. And I'll save your land and your children if you come back to me. Confess your sins, repent, turn from your evil ways, stop the lying and the hypocrisy and the foolishness, and I will receive you. Albert E. Evans said, Lord, to thee alone we turn, to thy cross for safety fly, there as penitents to learn how to live and how to die. Sinful on our knees we fall, hear us as for help we plead. Hear us when on thee we call. Aid us in our time of need. in the midst of sin and strife, in the depths of mortal woe. Teach us, Lord, to live a life meet for sojourners below. Though the road be oft times dark, though the feet in weakness stray, lead us, Savior, as the ark led thy chosen on their way. Weak and weary and alone, when the veil of death we tread, then be all thy mercy shown, then be all thy love displayed. Guard us in that darksome hour, lead us to the land of rest, where, secure from Satan's power, we may lie upon thy breast. Amen, somebody. Let's all stand for prayer. And before we pray, if you are a born-again Christian, if you are a part of the remnant, and you're hearing me today and you're seeing me today around the world or wherever you might be, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess your sins and repent of your sins. The evil that you do against God, against Jesus, against the cross, against the Word of God, you already know what your sins are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins, to confess, to admit. For we have people in the church today who won't even admit they're tempted, won't even confess that they have done evil. Pray for them. Pray for God's Holy Spirit to work mightily in their hearts, and that they would get back to their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to those who don't know Jesus Christ. Do something. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power of preaching. As you know, Lord, it does not matter to me if it's just only one person in the audience getting what they need to get. All of that is in your hands. And I just give you the glory, praise, and honor for the joy and the privilege of being able to preach your holy word. And I pray, however, for over 3 million souls to come to know your Savior. 3 million Christians across this country and around the globe, over 3 million, to get back to you, their first love, to confess our sins, to repent of our sins, and to turn from our evil ways, and to get back to you, our first love. Help us to do it in these difficult days. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us today, you may be seated, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. Salvation from sin and from the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. I was glad to see someone in, I believe, Christianity Today or Christian Posts emphasizing how that many churches have forsaken preaching about that sad place called hell and how that we need to get back to that. I was glad to see that. And that is so true. But if you want to be saved from hell today and saved to heaven, first accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for all sin. The Bible says very clearly in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. That's why we die. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as our Savior in this life. Our body goes to the grave. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Not to scare us, but because he loves us. And he wants us to avoid that awful place. So he died on the cross for our sins. As the Lamb of God, he is the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And that's why he wants you to believe on him. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Hell is a real place. Some call it the lake of fire. There are people burning in hell right now. You say, "Preacher, stop trying to scare me." I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just stating facts. You need to get your eternal life insurance policy signed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And thou you shalt be saved." Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away your sins. He paid your sin debt. He paid your sin debt through his death, his suffering, his precious blood on the cross. He died for you and he died for me, was buried and rose again. And all you have to do is believe on him. That's it. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to have anybody around you to be saved. God made it very wonderfully simple for all of us. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to give a dime to any church to be saved. You don't have to give a dime to any preacher. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he did it for us freely. It's all free. And one of the reasons why it is free is because there is not enough money in the world since the beginning of time to pay for God dying on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for you and for me. Holy blood was shed. And all you have to do is believe in him. It's free. It's a free gift, the Bible says. So follow me in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, for the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray with me right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, the sinner's prayer, and mean it from your heart, right where you are. And I guarantee you, from the word of God, God will save you. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied many times. I have lusted many times after people and things. I have stolen things before. I have dishonored my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have put people and things before you, committing the sin of idolatry. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, who took my place, who went through the hell that I deserve. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to commit to you and follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com. And let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. We love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.